Hello everyone and welcome to Words on a Wedding, the podcast that sees me, your host Annie Vischer, interview my wonderful guests about their big day. Together we talk all things proposals, planning, the ceremony, the reception, the honeymoon and beyond. No wedding related stone is left unturned. So whether you're planning your own wedding, you simply love wedding chat, or like me, you're a newlywed who just can't let it go, hit subscribe on Words on a Wedding, play on the episode and get stuck in. Today, I'm joined by renowned model and presenter Hannah Cooper-Domit. Over the course of her career, Hannah's fronted high-profile commercial campaigns for the likes of Barber, GHD and Macy's, was a national hit on Celebrity Gogglebox, and even co-presented ITV's lockdown series At Home with Joel Domit. Thank you so much for joining me, Hannah. I think you got married almost 4 years ago, right?
Yeah, oh, 3.5. Not that I'm counting at all, but I'm so glad to be talking about the wedding and have an excuse to talk about it, because I feel you spend so much money on weddings. So any excuse to talk about it, I'm like here for it. So 3 years on, let's go.
Yes, I love this enthusiasm. And now my first question, that's pretty much no redundant now given your introduction, but I'm going to ask it anyway because it's a Words on a Wedding tradition. Who did you marry and how did you meet?
So I married comedian / presenter / nutter Joel Domit. And we met, I think it's around, it was near Christmas time 6 years ago. And I slid into Joel's DMs, and he loves to tell everyone that that was the way round it happened. It was when he, just after he came out of I'm a Celebrity, and I genuinely did not watch the show, even though he thinks that I'm this super fangirl. I honestly, I was living in America at the time, and I came home for Christmas and I turned on the TV and there was this guy doing these post-jungle interview. I think it was on Lorraine or something like that. And I said, who's he? He's fit. And honestly, that night I went out for a couple of drinks with the girls. I had a little bit, one too many. And I just sort of started liking a couple of photos. And then I slid into the DMs with an emoji, not the aubergine.
Not the aubergine. Which emoji did you go for? Which was the chosen one?
I cringe now thinking about it, but it was the heart eye cat emoji, which was in reference to him holding this little puppy. So I thought my get out for that would be, it could be about the puppy and not
that's
him.
So true. That's skills. that's really good. Yeah. You're like, oh no, I meant the puppy. Calm down. Not you.
Yeah. Oh my God, I'm not that desperate.
You're just scrolling through hashtag puppies.
Actually, yeah,
just
exactly. Follow the hashtag. Still doesn't believe up. Me.
Yeah, no idea who you are. Don't worry about it. I love that story. No. Oh my God, is that why you have, I swear I've seen a picture of you guys with a massive neon sign that said, what does it say? Yeah. You had me at emoji.
You had me at emoji. Yeah, that's what we sort of say. Instead of the classic, you had me at hello, you had me at emoji. And it is pretty mad to think, you know, it is how the dating game is now, like Instagram and online apps and stuff. But the chances of us actually meeting with one emoji is pretty mad. I mean, Joel's also, he says he only clicked on my thumbnail because I was in a bikini, which I don't know if that's a compliment or not. I said, I don't know what that sort of means, but I'll take it. It's ended here, so that's fine. But he, I think it's a combination of timing and, yeah, right place, right time. And it's the top of the pile of the DM list, clearly.
Oh, it worked out very well. And what happens after that? What happened after the emoji?
After the emoji, we sort of have, you know, a couple of chats on Instagram. I think we're both trying to prove, he's trying to prove his funny, I think, to me, that's for sure. And he goes in pretty immediately. He says, do you want to go for a drink? He doesn't really hang about. And I appreciated that. I thought that's quite like to the point. Because yeah. I've definitely been in other relationships before where, you know, it sort of drags out and then it gets friend zoned. So that was quite sort of, I found that quite attractive about Joel, that he sort of moved it forward that way. And I do think, you know, sort of immediately when you meet each other that you sort of click. And there was never really, I wasn't nervous. And he says the same. It just was very relaxed. We're both very much ourselves and open and honest. And that very much still runs through our relationship now, probably too honest. But it just was easy. It's always just been easy and honest. And I think that's sort of the core of our relationship for sure.
That's really nice.
And then fast forward to the proposal. How much later was that? And talk me through it. And in case you hadn't guessed, I love proposal stories.
This is it's a pretty mad one. I would say we got engaged a year to the date of our first date.
Oh.
And we never spoke about marriage, really. To be honest, I never really had that vision of getting married, especially not a big white wedding. I think I did it on purpose because then I couldn't be disappointed. If I never got married and I never found someone, then I didn't have that vision to sort of feel disappointed by. So I think I sort of purposely never really thought about it. Saying that, if I couldn't sleep at night, I would design my wedding dress in my head. And I still do that now. Like, if I can't sleep, I sort of picture my perfect dress. And that usually is a wedding dress of some sorts. And it does send you to sleep pretty quickly. But yeah, me and Joel, I moved in at 6 months. So that was pretty fast. And then I was still traveling with modeling. So I was sort of going backwards and forwards from England to America, and Joel sort of dipped in and out where he could with work. So it wasn't like we knew each other that well. We were still doing long distance, but he told me he was writing a book, and he was writing a book about all of his ex-girlfriends and dates. And he's a bit of an awkward guy. He's a bit of an awkward guy. So these stories, naturally funny stories, happen around him. And like I said, I sort of knew a lot about it anyway, because I find it quite interesting. And I've spoken to friends about this and they go, oh my God, I wouldn't want to know. Or, oh no, it makes me feel weird. But I do find it interesting, like your past dating history, to find out why they are the way they are now.
I agree, especially if you've had a kind of, you know, a dating history that's equally as vibrant or kind of blooper filled, maybe. It's interesting because you know in yourself that you've had that dating history and it doesn't make any difference to how you feel about your, you know, your fiance or whatever. And so you're kind of, that's your safety net. So it's just equally as interesting as hearing about your best friend's dating life, you know?
Totally. It's just a gossip.
Yeah.
I just love the gossip.
Yeah.
And I knew about a few of the stories, and he says, I'm going to write a book. So he, you know, like I said, he was able to travel with me a little bit with work. And I didn't really think much of it until Christmas, when he'd finished writing and he said, I had to read it before this deadline date because my name was my actual name in the book. Everyone else's names are pretty much, you know, changed for confidentiality. But you need to read it by this date. So I was reading it as quick as I could on trains, at lunchtimes, on jobs. And I was like, yeah, yeah. And I'd sometimes text him. I'd go like, who's that on page 56? Oh my God, you never told me about that. And he'd be like, oh no, it's fine. It's a little bit fabricated, that part. And I was like, yeah, sure, whatever. And then I got to the end of the book and it sort of ended quite abruptly, in a way that it was good, but it just sort of stopped. There wasn't really like a rounding off to it. And I said, oh, this feels like a bit strange. I said, he's like, yeah, yeah, they're not really happy with the ending. I need to change it. I need to work with it over Christmas. Anyway, you're coming back to the flat tonight, aren't you? And I said, yeah. So it was a typical, like, that last day of work before Christmas, you've got, like, you know, wine bags and all your stuff with you. And I've traveled on the train and it was chucking down with rain. I said, can you pick me up, please? And he's like, oh, Han, no, I'm only running back from town myself. I'll just meet you at the flat. And I was like, oh. So, like, taking my makeup off in the Uber on the way home. And I got to the front door and I put my key in the door and he opened it. And Joel was stood there in, like, this sort of velvet tuxedo jacket.
Wow.
I remember it was like, we always used to take the piss out of because it's two sizes too small. So we looked like a little, like, school uniform or something. It was just, it's the cringiest little red velvet. It looked like Hugh Hefner, actually, in hindsight. And then he said, like, welcomed me in. And at this point, we were in the studio flat together. So it was quite a small space. I cannot describe to you how many tea lights were on the floor. Like, I couldn't even put a full foot on the floor because I would blow up in flames. He'd gone excessive. Like, you know, there's a level of romantic, then there's a level of, like, I think he might be trying to kill me. Like, too much. And I was like, what the hell is going on here? And he's like, come in, come in. And then he like sits me down at this sort of breakfast bar and he's got this massive candelabra. I said, where have you got this from? He's like, John Lewis, 40 quid. I was like, what are you doing? This is mad. He knows that before Christmas, I used to try and eat healthy so that over Christmas I could like eat whatever I wanted. So he'd gone to Pret. He'd bought a salad from Pret and thrown it upside down on the plate. Then he passed me a, still at this point, I'm like, oh, this is classic Joel, like pulling one of his like stunts or whatever. I still didn't click on anything, which sounds ridiculous because in hindsight, yeah, you'd be like, well, because we'd only been together a year and we'd never spoken about marriage or getting engaged.
Okay.
And so he handed me this glass of champagne and it was flat because clearly he'd done it like 4 hours ago. And then he said, sit down, sit down. And then he turns around and he has this page, which is from the book. It's like a torn out page of a book. And it's the last page that's missing from the book he wrote. And the last page basically says, and then I met Hannah. It's just been so easy, so goddamn easy. She is the love of my life and I am so happy to be with her. Blah, 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 blah. Hannah Cooper, will you marry me? And I was like, what? And he was like, will you marry me? And I was like, oh my God. And before I knew it, he was down on one knee, turned around and there was a ring. And I was like, what the hell is going on? Is this like some weird premiere for a book? Or am I being filmed? Am I being pranked? What? And it was the proposal. And I honestly was so stunned. And then one of the first things I said was, is this for book sales? And he was like, is that a yes? And then I went, oh, yeah, oh my God, yeah. But I was so stunned at like the prospect, the absolute like confidence that he had to just like write it in a book. I said, what if I said no? And he'd be like, oh, just write a book about it. And I was like, okay.
Oh my God.
But now I'm like, oh, in hindsight, it's like amazing because it's really great because we've got this evidence of this like proposal in a book. It is funny now because it's at the works for £1.50. So literally anyone can afford to sort of read to and buy
it. Guys, go up the animal app Amazon sales.
Yeah.
Wow. Wait, so
yeah.
That had printed by that point.
Yeah, it was ready to go. So it came out on Valentine's Day at that point. So it was already ready. But on my copy of my book, he'd made the publisher make one issue where that back page was like binded to look like it was finished. So
that is,
I mean, credit where credit's due.
I mean, that's ballsy. That's so ballsy, especially when you hadn't. I mean, I would back myself in saying that 75% of couples who get engaged have spoken about it before or kind of like mentioned it, so that they're both pretty secure in the fact that it's gonna happen. But wow, I mean, I was impressed with this tea light situation for a start, because to keep those going they burn through quickly.
And it was so hot in the flat because it's such a small space with such a large amount of fire. He was sweating, I was hot, and I was just like I said, no makeup, like this was not the vision I sort of had, but I really love it now. I'm like, oh, I couldn't have imagined it any other way. I think I just think, oh, I don't think we would have had like the restaurant sort of proposal. I don't see how that would have felt very us.
Yeah.
So I guess I would have thought maybe him being on stage and stuff, I guess from seeing like rock bands and stuff,
yes,
and think, oh, they bring them on stage and they propose on stage. But still then I think I would have died in that scenario. So this was perfect.
Was he wearing the jacket ironically or?
Oh yeah, it was ironically. Okay. It's always ironically to make me, yeah.
I just love the juxtaposition of the tea lights and the velvet jacket and then the upside down Pret salad.
It's so him though. It's like, you've kind of got it right. You kind of.
A little sweaty tuna niçoise on the side. Don't worry about it.
Hell yeah. Imagine the smells. Imagine.
I'm charmed by that proposal though. And that's epic. That's insane. You kind of, the mise-en-scene aside, that book stunt was incredible. You'll always have that. Have you got the page framed?
Oh yeah, we should
do
that.
You need to get the page framed.
Yes. Why have I not thought, oh my God, I can do that for Valentine's Day.
You heard it here first.
Such a good gift.
Yes.
Yeah. Don't listen to this, Joel.
No. And what vision, how quickly did you start planning? Because if that proposal came out of left field, then did you have, I mean, I had like all the Pinterest boards. I was like, good to go. Like, were you sort of ready? Did you get straight into planning? Was it collaborative? How did you find it?
I was annoyed that I hadn't spent my life planning Pinterest boards, because you do subconsciously see stuff all the time. And I thought, why have I not, at least over the past 5-6 years, you know, in my early 20s, not slowly created a Pinterest board? And I guess like the fear of that guy seeing it and thinking, oh my God, she is nuts, she wants this, and scaring them away. So I guess to protect myself, I probably never showed that side of me. But the one thing I didn't realize, and I say this to a couple of the girls who have been in long-term relationships and they, you know, would like to get married and they really, really want it. And I said, God, the one thing I'll tell you, as soon as that ring is on your finger, people are immediately like, when's the date? When's the date? What are you doing? And that stressed me out more than anything to do about the wedding. It was like, oh God, what? I've got it. What? Oh my God. What are you talking about? Napkin rings? Huh? Date? Photographer? You must get the photographer in immediately before the venue, before this. And I thought, oh my God. It was definitely overwhelming. But I think Joel knew that he wanted a really small wedding. And do you know what? I kind of probably would have gone along with whatever he'd said, because I didn't have that preconceived idea. But he was pretty sure on, he didn't want it to feel like he was performing. It sounds really stupid, but he wanted the amount of people that he didn't need a microphone, because that felt like work. And I was like, that's interesting. And we hadn't been together that long as a couple to have a lot of couple friends. Like now, if I had to do the wedding again, I couldn't have had it down to, we had 28 people at our wedding. I couldn't do that now, just from being together for longer and that sort of friendship group growing. And I love that friendship group now, but in the initial, it was easier to cut because you didn't know each other's friends that well. Like every other part, you know, your friend's partners, Joel wouldn't know. So he's like, I don't really want them at our wedding. It doesn't make any sense. And so we ended up having our immediate families, so parents, brothers, and then 7 friends each and no partners. That was the way we were able to sort of cater it down. Everyone knew at least one other person in terms of friendship groups. So it worked out really great, because on paper, in theory, they should have similar personalities because you're all friends and you and Joel get, you know, me and Joel get on. So, and it did work out like that. It was amazing, because now my best friends get on with his best friends and we have Christmases like together. It's honestly, that's the dream thing that I could never have expected to come from this wedding, because it was so intimate. That was the thing I think I cried at the most. It was like the people that you'd look around and you'd see the people chatting and be like, oh my God, I never would have put that together, or they really get on. And that was priceless. That really was. But that made everything less stressful on the planning front, because it wasn't a huge number of people. So because we immediately sort of decided we'd do it abroad and a small number, it basically batted off a lot of like people trying to get invites, because you're like, sorry, it's really intimate, we're going abroad, we don't know where, sorry. We were so vague about it. But I think people just have this expectation that because they know you, doesn't matter how well they know you, that they're coming to your wedding.
Yes, true. And you'll have those awkward conversations with people where they just is speaking like they're coming or assuming that they are, and then you're like, oh God, I'm too deep into this conversation.
Yeah.
Now what do I say?
And don't get me wrong, like I definitely think that some of my friends had conversations with partners thinking that that's weird that their partner didn't get invited, and I probably would feel the same if I got you know, invited to a wedding that was abroad and Joel wasn't coming. Because for me, weddings is about love and, you know, being in a couple, and especially if you're not married together and you're going to a wedding, it's quite like nice to have that vibe at a wedding. And Joel just felt really quite strongly about it. And I was like, okay, you clearly, this means something to you. And I knew everyone would get on. So it was a risk that I probably didn't feel as comfortable with in the beginning, but it definitely paid off.
Mm. And what, you got married in Mykonos, what drew you to Mykonos? Why, what was the reasoning behind that choice?
This is a bit stupid.
You have to tell me in great detail now.
We both had been to Ibiza loads of times separately. So initially we were straight away. We loved that idea of like a beach bohemian wedding. And from the top of our heads, we thought Ibiza is going to be perfect for that. So we found that as an excuse to go and have a holiday and go and do some wedding recces, but also have some sun.
Tough life.
Yeah, you've got to do it. Part of the admin. I'm like, is that a business expense? I don't know.
I'll do it. Anything you can.
And so we went there, and the immediate thing we got, we found out pretty quickly, was a lot of venues wanted a minimum of 70, a minimum of 60. So that really eliminated a lot of venues straight away. And even if they were going to allow us to have the wedding with 28, 30 odd people, it would have felt ridiculous, like, i.e. a big beach restaurant and us essentially having one long table at a restaurant. But you didn't want other like random restaurant diners there, but there was no point just having a whole restaurant to yourself. So that really eliminated stuff quickly, and we felt that Ibiza wasn't maybe a correct fit. And then I, prior to Joel, dated a guy who was Greek. And so I had been to Mykonos a few times before. And I said to Joel, Mykonos is a very tiny island. It's very small. There's lots of places that I'd been, you know, beach-wise and restaurant-wise that I could immediately think could work. And I said to Joel, this is really weird. And I absolutely have no feelings for my ex whatsoever. But have you thought about Mykonos? He joked immediately. He was like, oh my God, you're still in love with your ex, aren't you? And I was like, yes. How did you guess?
You've got him primed and ready for that. Is there anyone here who has any reason?
Oh,
you just want him storming down the beach to whisk you away.
Yeah. It was a bit like that. I was like, well, I shouldn't give away too much information about this wedding. So I basically had to sell Mykonos to Joel, and he had such a busy schedule. And the thing with Mykonos, like I said, it's a tiny island, so you have to time it right. Like, I think the best times for going there are May and September, because they're the beginning and the end of the seasons. And in the height of summer, it's chaos. The town's small. You can't get reservations. Obviously, the prices are sky high. So ideally, wanted to take him then, but the only time he had was in the middle of July. So I thought, we've got to go because we've got to nail this venue. Like, we've got to get that first step done. So I took him, and everything that like could probably go wrong went wrong. Like, I was just trying to act chill in the sense of like, we'll go into the town and we'll just stumble across a restaurant that will be by the sea and it will just be beautiful. And it ended up being like, we went to this restaurant that had like laminated menus, and we ended up having like spaghetti in Greece. And I was like, this was not the image, and it was really crammed, and the town was mental, and the waiter was rude. The food wasn't great. And I was like, ah. And then we went to go and see a couple of other venues the next day, and it was so windy, and it was just, everything that was wrong was not, it was just hard. And we only had about 2 days there. So I was like, this is not working, but I'm sure it would. I kept at it, and I said, let's go back in September again. Let's just do 2 days. I'll come back home. I'll do a little bit more research. And then, you know, again, we can have a little holiday in September, but then we can definitely say we can veto it if it's not right. And thankfully, when we went in September, it all sort of, on that first trip to Mykonos, we had insight from a waiter from a restaurant that we did actually really like, saying that they were going to open this new hotel next year and that we should come and see the site. And it's a tiny private beach that is only for hotel guests, and it's on the non-windy side of the island.
Which hotel was it?
It's called The Wild.
Oh, I haven't heard of that one.
Yeah, it's quite new. Well, I say new every year now. Mykonos is coming up with new ones. It was new 3 years ago. And it's just a really tiny boutique hotel. Originally, it had 20 bedrooms. And I said to Joel, well, that's worth going back for, just to go and look at this in real life, because we'd only seen the sort of CAD images that they do when they first open a hotel. But it was everything that we really wanted, like this secluded beach, tiny little, you know, in coves, like this little infinity pool, long table, like we could take the whole hotel. And so, yeah, we went that September, and we did two steps after check-in, looked at the view, looked at the beach, and we were like, please, can we have our wedding here? And they went, no, we don't do weddings. And I said, they said, we can't hold weddings, it's not big enough. And I said, 28 people? And they were like, oh, okay. And they said, well, we've never done a wedding before, but if it's 28 people, we can't see like how difficult that's going to be. That's pretty easy for us to manage. Let's talk. And then that's when it all sort of snowballed, and we were like, yeah, this felt right.
Wow. And you can count the number of hotels with a private beach in Mykonos on one hand, can't you? They're really few and far between.
Oh, yeah.
And so you've hit on the venue, the makings of your fairy tale wedding are coming together. Is it next the dress? Is that the next big thing?
Yeah, I think that was probably the next thing, especially now that I knew we were going to be in a windy place and it was going to be on the beach. So the sort of original visions, I looked at like a lot of Gali Alahav dresses that are quite heavily beaded and quite tall-y. But I'd seen that they'd done like their shoot against like cliffs, and it was all like see-through and lovely and like quite sexy, but also like really beautiful. And I sort of thought that would be me in Mykonos. And in reality, no, it wasn't. But I started big. So I went there just to get it out of my head, because I thought that that's what I liked. But I'll be honest, they were probably like a bit too sexy.
Okay.
For me.
The deep V down the front. And
yeah, but I definitely thought that that's what I liked, the sort of deep V vibes. But it was very heavily beaded, and practicality-wise on a beach, it wasn't ideal. And then also when they told me the price, I was like, that is not ideal. So I sort of filtered it out from like, I want two Gali Alahav dresses. And then I was like, oh, maybe not. But the strange thing about my dress was, years ago, before I even met Joel, my mum had seen this dress on Pinterest, didn't know the designer. And she said to me, if you ever got married, how nice is this dress? And I just sort of went, yeah, mum, like I'm not even in a relationship, probably not going to get married. So cool, but no, I'm okay, thanks. And then, yeah, so then I started on that, and she mentioned that dress again. And I was like, yeah, I'm not sure. It was sort of like, it was a sort of crochet fabric, and it was strapless. And I hardly have any breasts. So the idea of lifting up a strapless dress all night was just the worst case scenario for me. I just wanted to be comfortable. So I sort of vetoed strapless dresses altogether. And then did a couple of more wedding dress try-ons, and I was like, not really loving it. And I've been quite lucky that with modeling, I've had a few bridal jobs where I've tried on a couple of wedding dresses, but I've never really fallen in love with anything. And it never really helped, but it also didn't shatter my idea of my wedding dress. So I just carried on doing these appointments, and I'll be honest, it got to the point where I wasn't loving it anymore.
Oh no.
And that frustrated me, because I sort of did want that moment where, you know, you see on the film, you walk into the store and it's the first dress and you just know. And again, I was like, why have I not spent more of my 20s like Googling what my dress would be like? Because I'd save myself so much time. Just nothing really felt like it worked for me. And then we happened to go to one store where they stocked the designer, which was Rue Design Bridal, in one of the stores that we went to. And so there was the dress that my mum saw on Pinterest all those years ago. And I said, just add it to the pile. It was like number 5 of what I'd already seen. So I was like, just add it. I'm trying on loads anyway.
Was she there with you?
She was there with me. I only took my mum actually to all the appointments because I just would get too overwhelmed, I think, if there was more people. And my mum's the most honest person, I believe. She can't hide it in her face if she doesn't like it, basically. And it does cause a little bit of friction at times because you feel really passionate about something and you're like, why don't you understand? Oh, she's being a prude. Oh, this is what's in fashion. This is, you know, it can cause those little bits of frustrations. And then, yeah, I literally stepped into the wedding dress that mum had seen from Pinterest. And I just went, oh, for God's sake, she's right. I just knew it before I like even got it sort of zipped the thing up, like done the buttons. It was right. And yes, it needed altering and I needed pads in it. Yes, it was strapless, the one thing I didn't want, but it just was perfect. Like it was a sort of, they do very bohemian crochet material dresses, which fitted like Mykonos and the beach. I wouldn't get married in that dress in England. That it wouldn't work. This just was like, all the sort of universes had sort of joined up and I was like, this was meant to be. Now, I love a story behind something that just felt right that mum always knew. And I think they always know about ex-boyfriends. She always knew which ones were trouble and they always get it right. And I felt like it just had to be that one.
And I bet she beamed when you walked out in it, right?
Yeah. She's not like a, she was busy trying on all the Jimmy Choo's in the bridal store. And she was like busy trying on all the shoes for her dress. And I walked out and she just was like, oh. And then she like burst out crying. Aww. And I was like, that's the reaction that you have on films. I'm like, that's the dress. Like, that's the one. And yeah, it was great. It worked so well. And do you know what? It was at a price point that was better than I'd hoped for, which made me feel even more comfortable on the day. I know that sounds ridiculous, but I knew I'd only wear it once, of course. I mean, I wear it around the house, but I knew it was going to get trashed. I wanted to have a day where it got trashed. I didn't want to feel precious about it. I wanted to have that dress, have memories in that dress, and also just not feel sick about paying it off for the rest of the year. And so that was another thing that I didn't realize was part of picking it.
It does really, really help. And when do you wear it around the house? Tell me about that.
Hoovering, bleaching the toilets.
Your Mrs. Hinch get up.
It's a little bit harder to get over my hips now. Yeah. I can't quite squeeze it over as easily, but hey.
A couple of bulldog clips, you're fine. And then you got your dress and it's the hair and the makeup. How did you have a hair and makeup artist with you on the day? I could tell from pictures you went for a beautiful sort of natural kind of look, kind of conducive to the wind. It looked insane in the wind. Amazing.
It was, again, I like years of hair and makeup with amazing hair and makeup artists and not so amazing hair and makeup artists. So I knew I could filter out who I would sort of have along the years. That was something strangely that I would know who I would bring. But because it being abroad, it does feel like, is this worth it? Which sounds mad because I do feel like it's important that your face and your hair is right. And that's something, even now, I would wear the most awful clothes, but I care about my hair and makeup. I'd rather spend money on foundation than spend money on clothes, like and skincare particularly. And I just felt like I wanted to look like me. I didn't want to feel too different. It was another cost to bring someone out. It's so windy in Mykonos. It would have been a hell of a job for anyone on a hair front.
Yeah, it must feel weird, especially when you're having a very intimate wedding, to bring two people that you know out with friends that aren't there and things. That concept must be quite weird.
Yeah, And don't get me wrong, like some of the makeup artists I know, I've known for about, you know, 15 plus years. So they are, you know, close friends and stuff. But exactly that, it does feel like I didn't want my entourage essentially to be bigger than the wedding, which I could very easily have let happen. But what I ended up doing was getting one of my favorite makeup artists, Emily Clarkson. If my wedding was in England, I would have got her. So instead, I went round to her house. I brought all my makeup with me and we did a tutorial on my face and she did it. I watched, she used her products, what I told me what I should buy, what eyeshadows, what I should add to my kit. And we just did that trial and everything she did, I felt totally within my capabilities. And I didn't, it's so weird in hindsight to think about it because I'm so used to sitting in a hair and makeup chair before a job and feeling prepped and ready to go. And for the wedding day, it just felt too much faff, which is nuts. And I've gone to my friends' weddings and, you know, been in that get ready stage with them. And it's so much fun and it doesn't feel stressful at all. But I guess because I'm not the bride then, I'm just a pissed bridesmaid. So I'm not stressed about anything. But I'm really glad I did it like that because I wear my hair pretty much like beach wave every single day anyway, and the veil was going to be chucked on. But I did spend a lot of money on having that facials and skincare. Like about 6 months before the wedding day, I upped all my facials and I wanted to make sure that my skin was great, that it didn't rely on a lot of makeup when I was out in Mykonos. And that was something I definitely don't regret doing. That was like, you want to look the best that you've ever looked on your wedding day. So that was definitely worth it. And then sod's law, the night before the wedding, the day before the wedding, I woke up that morning and I'd had like this weird allergic reaction to the plug-in mosquito repellents. So my eyelids were puffiest you've ever seen. They were bright pink, puffy and itchy. Then I had this rash, I kid you not, that went from the bottom of my chin right down my neck. It was almost like hives. That's the closest thing I could explain it to. It just was like a heat rash essentially, but just on my neck. And I think it was the come down of all my guests had arrived and I was having a great time and all that stress of the build-up of the wedding had finally sort of, everything was like working out and I was like relaxing and having a good time. And I think maybe that's what my neck was. The eyelids was a bloody mosquito repellent, which I'll never do again. But I was absolutely shitting it. I could have kicked myself. I was like, why did I not get a makeup artist? I've spent all this time on facials and skincare and like me trying to be a little bit thrifty and a little bit like clever, thinking, no, I don't need that. Why have I punished myself? Like, I can do makeup, but I'm not very good at like covering up spots or that sort of thing. I think it's quite an art in itself, you know, using green concealer and all these little tricks that you can do. I'm not skilled in that. And I thought, what the hell am I going to do? So in a strange, thankful moment, the hotel that we got married in, they had a masseuse there for the day. And I just went to her because it was the closest person to a medical person. And I just showed her my neck. And she got this cream out that, I'll be honest, it looked pretty old. It just Greek letters on it. And it said like 5%. And I thought, oh God. And she just put loads of it on my neck. So I just had this like white creamy neck and guests were still coming to the hotel and I was like hugging them and they were like, ugh, like, what's that? And I was like, oh, I'm so sorry. This is so gross. And I left it on all the day before, I slept with it all on, kept reapplying. And oh my God, the next morning I woke up and it had gone. It had gone. Someone was looking down on me, help me. Because imagine a strapless dress and then this just rash. I was like, this is like cancelled out everything. My eyelids were still pink. The swelling had gone down from antihistamines, but I just sort of had to imagine putting like a sort of shimmer eyeshadow on eczema.
Oh God.
That was my look. But I just sort of had to go with it. I was like, pink brings out the green in people's eyes, right?
Yeah. We can say that.
So I don't know. I think I was very lucky that it went down again, and my hair, as expected, the veil lasted for the ceremony, and that was it. We had very good photographers that made the wind and the hair look like a moment instead of a shit show.
It looked amazing.
It was tough at times.
It looked amazing.
Thank you.
When I was like doing my professional stalking, you know, for the purposes of the podcast.
Yeah.
I came across a teaser trailer of your wedding video or something, right? And you're, you know, on the sort of cliffs and it's beautiful. And oh my goodness. A, you can't see hide nor tail of any pink eyes, so don't worry about that. But that hair just worked. That was very Gallia the Half ad.
Oh, I'll take it. Thank you.
100%. And you cannot walk. I have a hairstyle that I call my Mykonos bun, and it's just like snatched. There's no, like nothing's escaping. I was like, that's just my hair in Mykonos, because I won't be able to brush it if I go out for 10 minutes and come back in. You couldn't have a crazy polished look because all your hard
work. You know, when you look at Mykonos, you like go on Instagram and you see people that go to Mykonos, and I just... like exactly like you say, you have to go for the snatched bun, which I never wear, so me doing that on the wedding day would have been ridiculous. I sort of panicked last minute and thought, should I do a half up half down? This is me, like the non-trained hairstylist, never wear my hair like that. I said to Joel about it and he was like, oh, I don't like it when you wear your hair like that. And I just thought, oh my God, yeah, it's like interesting, like I would have looked so different. But you go on Instagram and you see Mykonos and there's like a reason why every girl's hair is up.
It's so true. I don't know how. There are some people that just look like they must have just taken the picture within the first second of stepping outside and then rushed back in or something. I don't know. I mean, you managed very, very well. And you mentioned treatments. Can you remember which specific skin treatments you booked in for? Which facials?
Gosh. Like,
did you go to town?
So I always... yeah, I definitely treated myself and justified it as wedding prep. I said, it's best that I do this, Joel. You don't understand, but it's better for both of us. He had like nothing done, and I just went. I didn't get anything like massively invasive. It was just purely steam and extractions, you know, vitamin C. I did some meso, which is basically, again, not really invasive at all. What else did I do? Is it Casey?
Oh, yes,
Casey,
I know
facials,
what you mean. Yeah.
Where they sort of get two prongs, quite face Jimmy, just sort of like promoting that, invested in an LED mask, which, you know, I invested for the wedding and I still use it now. So it wasn't a wedding cost, it's a life investment. And just made sure I was really on it with my skin routine so that nothing really changed by that time. But then naturally you go on holiday, the humidity, your SPF's different, well, you're sweating, so that's changing the condition of your skin. So yeah, it was a little bit of a battle, but we got
there.
That's
a good point. What foundation did you use on the day? Or like what makeup, were you kind of conscious of it having to stay in place? I mean, I guess you've done abroad shoots with modelling, so you know the deal in that respect, right?
But I don't have to do it.
True.
So that's like, it's just a hell of a lot of people coming in powdering every like 10 minutes. And I knew again, that wasn't going to be an option on the day. I'm quite lucky that I don't have like really oily skin. It sort of manages, my skin sort of manages to keep makeup on. I don't know if this is like right to say, but I use hairspray to keep my makeup on.
Oh no, I've
you know
that
old school trick of like the spray.
Yeah, I did that at uni. I wouldn't advise it as a
I think because I'm not giving out medical advice, by the way, but naturally I was hairspraying my hair, so if it happened to go over my face, hey, what's a girl to do?
Joel gets a mouthful of Elnett when he
yeah exactly. But that was, I'm quite lucky that it managed to stay put, and we got married at 4:30 in the afternoon. So it wasn't like the bright heat and that sort of sweatiness that it would be in midday. So I think a combination of that and just my normal foundation, you know, Fluid by Armani. Like, is it the sheer fluid
one?
Yeah.
Cult classic.
Yeah. So I sort of did stick to it.
Nice.
Yeah.
And then, so talk me, we're at your wedding day. Talk me through a day in the life of your wedding day. How did it go down?
It woke up with me immediately running to the mirror, checking that this neck situation had gone down, which it had. Mini dance to myself. Then eyelids were still okay. It was workable. So that was like a massive relief. Then we took everyone 10 minutes down the road to go for like a breakfast brunch, because we had like time to kill in a way, because the ceremony wasn't until 4:30. So I think I sort of over planned stuff in a way, because I was just worried that people were going to be bored, but in hindsight, they're on holiday. You're never bored really on holiday. The sun, you're chilling out, but I wanted to get people out of the sort of hotel that we were in because it was so small, and also it was our wedding venue. So I wanted to give space for like the team needing to do what they needed to do. And that sort of would cancel out the magic of it, I felt, if like we were all hanging around. So yeah, we went to this beach bar, which was called Eftelia, and they set up this massive brunch for us, and we had some drinks and things. But the day before, we'd had a big boat party, which was amazing. Joel says it's almost better than the wedding day, which I kill him for, but still, we had a very fun time. So a lot of people were hungover on the morning of our wedding. Some people didn't make it to the brunch. My dad actually got locked out onto his balcony.
Wow.
And ended up getting very sunburnt. The cleaner locked him out.
Oh no.
So it wasn't until I was at this brunch that I went, "Where's dad?" And my mum went, "Oh, I think he's worried about the speech. Like he's stayed home. Like I think he was a bit hungover to begin with." By the time we got back to the hotel, he was like a bloody lobster. And imagine him in like the classic like beige linen suit. It just highlighted the sunburn to next level. It was not ideal. Like it's laughable now in photos. I'm like, that's why we did some in black and white. But it was really nice. Because it got us out of the hotel. Everyone could like sort of get over their hangovers. We like sunbathed a bit. It was a nice thing to do. And then we got back to the hotel around 1 or 2 o'clock. And then everyone sort of slowly went back to their rooms and got ready. The guys actually helped set up the beach. So they cleared all the sun loungers. It was quite sort of hands-on. Thinking about it, the wedding planner only had sort of one assistant. And we didn't really think much about the logistics of moving stuff on the beach, like sun loungers and umbrellas and stuff. So it was really great because they treated it as some sort of weird gym workout because they're all gym fanatics. So I thought, fine, let them get on with it. If that's what they want to do on the day of the wedding, go for it. And yeah, all the girls just went to their rooms and we all like did our hair and like that classic, like opened a bottle of champagne and sort of went in between each other's rooms. And
so did you have bridesmaids?
No, I didn't. I kind of, because I had my 7 best friends, they all would have been bridesmaids in the grand picture of it. But then no one would have been sat down watching the wedding. Everyone would have been up by the altar. So it would have been ridiculous.
That's so true. You don't even think about that.
There was such a little number of us.
Yeah.
So I just made it easier and I just said, look, no offense, it doesn't mean anything, but I'm not going to do any bridesmaids. And that was it was a good idea, but equally it was a bit stupid because it wasn't literally probably an hour before I was going to walk down the aisle that one of my friends said to me, like, who's sorting out your dress? Who are you giving the bouquet to? Like, who are you, like, these little things that you just, who's got your lipstick? Who's got your, I was like, oh shit, yes, this is all the bridesmaids' jobs that I hadn't really figured out. And I didn't want to favor anyone, you know, it sounds so ridiculous. Like, I just didn't want anyone to think, oh, because they've sorted out my dress, that means that secretly they're the maid of honor or secretly they're the bridesmaid, I don't know. So I just sort of did it on a whim.
Yeah, you almost need to, I don't know, appoint an undercover maid of honor and just prep them and say, make it look like you're doing it, like spur of the moment, like, oh goodness, nobody's there doing that. Oh, don't you worry, I'll step in.
I think in hindsight, I should have made like a sort of fun Hindu game out of it and sort of done like sticks out of a cup and sort of gone like, who wants to do my veil? And sort of give like tasks like that. Because I think that's, it's quite fun. And also it just means that there's no reason why you've got maybe a shitter job or a better job. It just is chance.
That's such a good tip.
So I think in hindsight, that would have been good. But yeah, they did. Whoever asked me, I just said, do you mind doing it? Do you mind? And they're like, yeah, it's fine. So it worked out okay. But it couldn't have been seven bridesmaids. It would have been ridiculous. It would have been empty seats.
I didn't even think. So you're in your room, you're getting ready. All your girlfriends are flitting in and out. Champagne's popped. How long is it that what you've got? An hour and a half then maybe till you're on the beach?
Yeah, I knew I needed to be down there about 4:30 because we were going to be there getting married at sunset. Like that was the sort of plan. And then obviously, I don't know why. I was definitely ready, but I was late. I just don't know how I did it. There was no reason for it. I can't even think, like my makeup went okay. My hair actually went okay. We got loads of lovely like photos before, like there was no rush. Maybe that was the problem. That's why I was late. There was no one time checking me, I think. So I somehow was about 25 minutes late and I was only going downstairs. Like it wasn't like I needed to travel anywhere, but I kind of was like, I kind of enjoyed the idea that Joel might think that I wasn't getting married, but I think
run off with the ex.
Yeah. Maybe she is meeting her ex-boyfriend in Mykonos. Maybe this is all part of the plan. And it actually worked out okay because the sun would have been still a bit too bright. And I did say to Joel, if the sun happens to be in, I get down the aisle and it's the sun's in my eyes, can we swap? Because it doesn't matter if you wear sunglasses, it's just weird if I do.
Oh, great point to think about.
Yeah, like for a guy it's like a vibe with a suit, but I couldn't do that. And a veil, I was like, that's gonna be, but bearing in mind my red eyelids, I should have maybe done that. I should have had sunglasses. It was when I did get down the aisle and I was at the end, it was fine, the sun had gone in enough that wasn't an issue. Stood there and then the ceremony started and we had Ian Sterling, voice of Love Island, and one of Joel's good, really good friends officiate our wedding.
Stop.
So it was quite funny because it did really feel like we were on Love Island.
No,
and we were doing a recoupling.
Oh my goodness, I didn't know this.
Yeah. So it was like, tonight in Mykonos.
No, did he say that?
Yeah.
Oh my goodness.
Not to that extent. I was pretty strict on not making it feel too like ITV, we're working here. But it was really lovely because Ian, being a comedian, has got such a good sensibility. Like anytime that it was getting a bit too emotional, he'd bring it back with comedy. And it was like a really, he was so wonderful at it. I couldn't think of anyone else to do the job better. But I got down to the aisle and Ian said, well, we gathered here today, and the wind out of nowhere from behind me through my veil, like my hair was over my face. Like it was just, I kept pulling my hair back and I just had to go. I couldn't believe I did it. I just stopped the ceremony and I just went, I'm so sorry. I know I sound like a diva here, but can I swap sides with Joel? Because at least if the wind's blowing in my hair, it's sort of a vibe.
Yeah.
And I was like, this is going to be better on photos. The whole time I was like, he doesn't have to worry about that. So we stopped the ceremony, we swapped sides, and then we started again. And I was like, oh my God, I'm mortified.
No, I think that is such a wise shout, because what you're left with years later are the photos, and there's no use you having photos of tool in your face when you're saying I do.
No, be like, who was, is that you? Yeah, I think so, yeah.
The ultimate
veil. Any woman.
When a marriage where you actually don't see who you're marrying until right at the end.
No, yeah. But yeah, so that was lucky that worked out. And then ceremony was beautiful. Then we had like our friend Bluey's acoustic guitar, amazing singer. He sung me down the aisle. And then as we got married, after we got married, he did some like acoustic stuff for half an hour or so, cocktails, some snacks on the beach. And we just sort of had a little dance. And then I think people got confused that that was our first dance.
Oh,
and we were
right.
Like, no, we're just hanging out. Because we were quite strangely adamant that we didn't want the typical wedding set up of photographs. Like, we didn't want to do the whole, and now the bridesmaids, and now the parents, and now this side, and now this side. Because we were like, oh, I just don't know. It just felt like too stiff for us. I just was thinking we'll just have like behind the scenes stuff. It just felt odd. And we didn't want to like miss out on our wedding. We sort of wanted to be there. But it was actually our photographers that have done a million weddings and they know what they're doing.
Who were your photographers?
They're called Chris and Ruth. I think they're actually Chris and Ruth on Instagram. They're a married couple and they are amazing. It is the one thing that I don't regret. Yes, they're a bit expensive, but they are 100% worth it. They did our amazing video/music video.
It's
not
so
really a wedding
cool.
video. It's like a hip hop video.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I was going to say.
They're
it's so cool.
good. Yeah, the way, the aesthetic of how they shoot and sort of in what themes they shoot really matched the venue. It was quite bohemian. So it was like, it was the tones of their photography really worked with the venue, which is something that you sort of have to strangely think about. And they just made the whole process really easy for us that they, you know, it was no faff logistics. They were like, don't worry, we know where you're getting married. We'll sort our accommodation. We'll sort our flights. We'll get everything. Like, you just do you. We'll be there on the day. And they listened to us of what we wanted. And they also, rightly so, they were like, let's just nip off for half an hour round the corner. And that's actually when we got those amazing, like you say, the hair and the veil shots in the wind. And I'm really glad we did that, because the video especially, like, photos are amazing, but the video really gives the vibe of the wedding. And I probably have watched it a million times.
I'm not surprised.
I just love
it's
having
so
that,
joyful and
that
playful
as a memory.
As well.
Yeah. And it just has everyone in it. And I don't regret anything about that side of it. And I would say to anyone, out of all of the costs of your wedding, that is worth spending the money on, like your videographer and your photographer, because that's essentially what you're keeping for the rest of your life. Those are your memories. And you hope that they're going to be in the best light and the best sort of atmosphere. And I've definitely been to weddings before where you've really noticed that photographers are there and they just, it can almost become in the way. And like, again, with an intimate wedding, you just sort of, they just actually mingled in and they like, it just was really nice. They fitted in really well. So that worked out well. Then we went and had one massive long table for dinner. And we did sort of family style Greek food. So it was like big Greek salads, hummus, dips, pita. And then, you know, it all changed. It went all to like chicken and moussaka and all of that stuff. It was just really nice. Like, everyone pitched in. That classic thing of when one of the waiters in my ear was like, Hannah, your wine has all gone. What do you want to do? And I genuinely thought I'd got enough wine for the night. And I was like, how has this happened? And you're just like, all of that budgeting that you do immediately goes out the window. You're like, screw it. I'll take 20 more bottles of Whispering Angels. I'm here for it. I just was like, you just don't care. So all that budgeting goes out of the window. And but it was great. So we had the meal and we made our wedding cake the dessert. We had a massive cheesecake. We messed up there because we originally, when we went to do our food tasting, we had these little pots of, they were called deconstructed cheesecake, and we were like, this is amazing, it tastes amazing, just put that into a cake. We just said to the venue, I was like, can you just make it a big cake and that will be our wedding cake? Now, I don't know, maybe I can send you a picture of our wedding cake, but it looked like a severed limb. That is the best thing I can describe.
God.
It looks like someone's cut off their leg. They've presented it on a, I'd say, a wooden tree trunk, and then they threw raspberry coulis over it. It looked like blood. It tasted amazing, but it looked, it didn't scream love. It screamed death.
It just screamed.
It was bad. Yeah, it was like something out of Scream, I think. It was a little bit of a mistake, but hey, it tasted great. Then my dad's speech was way too long, more than we'd agreed. It was probably like 20 minutes longer. Yeah, it was 20 minutes longer. He had like handouts. He laminated pictures of my ex-boyfriends, passed them round to all the table. Like he went full like dad cringe. Why are you talking? Stop. This is ridiculous. So our whole timing overran because we were supposed to go down to the beach, do our first dance, have some cocktails, and then fireworks needed to be set off at 10 o'clock. That was like the law.
Oh, wow.
They said they can't do them later than that. It has to be at 10 o'clock. So because dad's speech overran, we basically knocked back this cake. We made everyone had espresso martinis. So we like took them into go cups down to the beach, went back down to the beach, and like quickly did this first dance to Maroon 5 because I love
Which
Adam
one?
Levine, or did love Adam Levine. She will be loved, of course.
Of course. Of course. Of course. It sounds different now, though.
You're now, like, will the scandal has happened. You're
will
like,
she, Adam? Oh,
I can't believe he didn't slide into my DMs.
Well, there's still time.
Yeah, hey. And yeah, and so it all worked out. That was the only probably timing thing that screwed us over a little bit. But it, the fireworks, and then everyone cried, and it was like, it was wonderful. And then we had the fire pit on. All the boys stripped down to their boxers. They got into the ocean.
Betty and Sterling felt like he was back on Love Island.
Yes. Trunks. And we were up till 4:30 in the morning.
Good going. That's a whole 12-hour wedding.
Like, yeah, we got our money's worth.
Nice. Nice. How were the heads the next morning?
I didn't see half of them. So that's a good sign.
Definitely a good sign. A wedding done well. Congrats.
Yeah.
It sounds absolutely incredible.
And then everyone went home.
Gutted.
Yeah.
And I always think with this, with abroad weddings, did you feel like, did you then go on honeymoon? Where do you go from there when you've had that insane Mykonos weekend, Mykonian weekend? How does a honeymoon hope to measure up to that?
Yeah, we didn't definitely put too much pressure on it because we in our heads, we sort of said a hen do, a stag do was Mykonos. The boat party was part of that. It was a holiday. So we were not really felt pressured to go away immediately. Our wedding was in September. So we planned to go away in January, which is actually like my birthday. So we sort of timed it with that. We went to Tulum.
Oh, glorious.
And that was really lovely. But prior to that, we actually did a last minute trip in the October so straight after the wedding to LA. And we had a really fun time in LA. I don't think either of us would say it, but we probably had more fun in LA. And that probably felt more like a honeymoon because it was immediately after the wedding. More so than Tulum.
Yeah, and was that in reaction to sort of wedding blues? Did you need something to, you came back after this huge high, did you need something to pick you up and you're like, to the plane?
Yeah, I think it was. We're like, now you say it, it probably definitely felt that way. And you do really have the wedding blues. Like people said it to me, but I just didn't really think about it that much. But yeah, that was part of it. And we just got drunk, we got tattoos, we got
what,
like, we just were like teenagers.
No, let's not glaze this, over like... that, let's not glaze over that. What tattoos did you get?
Well, it's nothing like too nuts, but Joel's got pi, the number, like 1 point blah 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 blah, whatever it is, to infinity, to 100 decimal places on his inner arm.
But
yeah,
why?
It's ridiculous. He looks like a notepad. Exactly. But why? His whole body is honestly like a weird doodle pad, but he just, hey, we let him go with it. And I was like, that's so stupid. Why have you got that? I'm just going to get pi, like the shortened version and then symbol. And then I was like, no, that's cliche. I'm going to get like pi, P-I-E, because I'm, you know, a model and I wasn't allowed to eat pie and this is my rebellion. I'm going to get pie. And I just got the word pie, like P-I-E, on my arm written. And it wasn't until the last like needle went in that I went, oh my God, it looks like die. Like it just looks like I've got die written on my arm and I am not that girl at all. Like I was like, this is like so emo vibes. I was like, no, people are going to think that this is like a weird message. So it was stupid. It was stupid. Joel even more stupid. He got a croissant and the word Sunday above it, because we used to have this habit of eating croissants every Sunday and we used to call it Croissant Sunday. And ever since he got the tattoo, we don't even really eat them on a Sunday. It just felt like a little like teenage road trip, but it was fun.
I love that. Oh, and so now, I mean, that sounds like the most incredible wedding. So unique, so full of joy, exactly as it should be. If you have, and I'm sure you do, a friend who's planning their own wedding, they're about to dive straight in, what tips would you give them?
To, and I know it's hard to say it, like, make sure that you love your venue and find the right venue, and that the initial aesthetics of that venue feel right, because then you don't actually need to do much to it, i.e. an amazing view, or the room is amazing, or the house, it doesn't need like loads of flowers or loads of disguising. And it also like immediately sets your the theme for everything else. So I think it personally that it's worth spending the time finding it. And yes, it's stressful, yes, it's annoying, and it can take so long and take up every weekend of spare time. But I do think that that's really important to prioritize that. And also, like I said before, a photographer and a videographer that you really love and that you trust, and that's worth the money.
Mm.
Everything else you can sort of get away with, like skimming some corners, I think.
Yeah. And then, I mean, I always caveat this next session by saying that everything's being recorded before it goes out because it's the first season. But this is listeners' questions. So I've canvassed friends, as I always say, I've canvassed friends, acquaintances for their questions. And the ones for you are, I feel like we've kind of talked through most of these already, I guess, but what are the biggest challenges you encountered planning an abroad wedding specifically, and how did you overcome them?
I think I can't speak Greek.
That's a big
one. So that was a massive big problem. And have absolutely, I can't even count. I still couldn't say hello. It's really bad. I wouldn't even know if I remembered to say thank you.
It was Greek.
Yeah, I know. It's bad. I just love the food though.
Oh,
that was great.
I feel you.
And but yeah, so that was a problem, the language barrier and the way of life. In Greece is very relaxed, the way of business, the way of organizing, it's very on their time, and it's not very English, shall I say. Like, I feel like English wedding planners and people in general, we're quite sort of like to follow a checklist and like to, we're quite controlling, I think. We quite know what we want, whereas the Greek way is very relaxed. Don't worry, it will happen. It will happen. Just when we make it happen. And I was like, I need to know when that is. And we had to get a wedding planner for that reason, for that situation, because it just would have been a nightmare, like speaking to vendors. And also it does help when they just know people on the island. And it's such a small island. So you only really do have the choice of one or two florists or the sound guy, or there's not much option, which is annoying because you're sort of have to have that person so they can charge whatever they want. And wedding planner wise, we were very lucky that the hotel was very helpful and the staff at the hotel were very helpful. So yeah, it was, we probably didn't use the wedding planner as much as other people probably used them throughout the whole process, but it for a language situation, it was a necessity. Yeah.
And then another key one, obviously a hot weather wedding, how did Joel hit on a suit that wouldn't leave him sweltering?
Yeah, he got his suit from Burberry. It was like a navy blue, not linen, but like quite thin cotton suit. It was the same price as my wedding dress, so that was a conversation that was brought up. I was like, this is about me, not you. But credit to him, he's worn that suit loads. He's worn it, oh my God, at least 15, 20 times since our wedding. So it's totally made more sense for him to spend that amount of money on his suit. But under the suits he had t-shirts, and we actually had them like with our little initials like on the pocket, and he just had about four of those. So like I said, it wasn't until 4:30 that we got married, so it wasn't super sweaty, but he just had about four or five t-shirts that he could quickly swap into. And it's quite interesting because since the wedding, literally the week after our wedding, Joel started Masked Singer. It was the first series of Masked Singer. And that's when he sort of got known for his suits and like being a little bit more put together. So now when we look back at the wedding photos, at the time, people really were like, oh my God, I can't believe this guy is wearing, he wore trainers, albeit there were Tom Ford trainers, but no one knows that. They were just white trainers. He wore trainers to his wedding. This guy doesn't give a damn, like wears a t-shirt. Yeah, in hindsight now, I get it. Because when you compare him to like his Masked Singer suits, he's the most casual he's ever been. But I actually think it would have been a nightmare, like you say, with a shirt and buttons and that sort of claustrophobic feeling. He does say, oh, I wish I probably would have dressed a little bit smarter. But you, for the beach, you can't.
No.
You just have to go with the flow of it. And it fit the vibe, a relaxed vibe. I think it would have been strange if he was in a tux on the beach, like
yeah,
a little
absolutely.
Penguin.
Absolutely. He'd have been dripping as well. My goodness.
So no, he was actually okay.
Oh, good on Joel. We've come to the end of the episode now. So I have thoroughly enjoyed that. Aww. Felt like I've actually been away, which is quite nice during the depths of winter. We're talking
minus
about
the sunburn.
Minus the sunburn. Yeah, your poor dad, that's going to stay with me. Just visions of him tapping helplessly
on
the French windows.
Don't worry, it made it into his wedding speech. Like any reason, any other story. That's why it was so long. And then I got locked out. Can you believe it? No.
Oh, well, thank you so much for joining me. Like I said, it's been an absolute pleasure. And I'll obviously be plastering all those wonderful pictures across the At Words and a Wedding Instagram. So everybody will be able to see.
Oh, thank you. It's been such a joy to have an excuse to talk about it again. And I will do this every 3 years if you want me to.
Oh, please, let's do that. I'm so keen.
We just see if I'm still married.
Yeah, Joel's got a new book out.
Yeah.
Thanks so much for listening to Words on a Wedding. If you like the episode, please subscribe if you haven't already, and follow at Words on a Wedding on Instagram, where you'll find guest wedding photos and much, much more. Have a great week.